Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. It's been a wonderful day in the Lord. Many good things have happened. And many souls are hurting today. I want to kind of build a foundation tonight. Tonight the message is going to be titled, The Arrogant Warrior. And I want to build a foundation. I want us to understand and to realize something here tonight, that every day in the life of a Christian is a battle. That we'll face a battle every day. From the time we wake up to the time we go to bed at night, the adversary, as a roaring lion, seeketh to devour us. His very nature in life is to destroy the Christians and to keep those that are lost from coming to church. Right, that's what he does. And I want you to understand something tonight. I'm not giving him any praise or any honor tonight because he doesn't deserve any of it. But he is good at what he does. And we deceive ourselves if we act like that he's not. Right? And a lot of times, we as Christians, especially us seasoned Christians that have been in the way a long time and are really knowledgeable of the Word of God, sometimes we'll get arrogant in that. Start to get to the point and get to the place where we think, well, you know what? I'm to a place in my life where I can overcome that. Start looking at other people's misfortunes and other people's failures and saying, I don't see how they could fall into that trap. I got over that a long time ago. Have you ever seen anybody like that? I've seen them. I've seen them fall. I've seen them fail. I've seen them be destroyed because of that arrogance, because they lost sight of what was most important and who really had control. Right? God has control. And God is the one that we need to turn to. We need to understand. We need to lean to His understanding so that He can help us through the trials, through the battles, so He can help us through the hard times and not get so high-minded and so heady that we think we can handle everything ourselves. Now, if I'm not preaching to nobody else here tonight, I'm preaching to myself. Because I am that way. I've always been the kind of person who thinks I can handle it on my own. I don't need anybody's help. I'm hard-headed in that sense. And I thank God that He knows that. And He sends messages to me too, right? To help me in those things and to help me to overcome those things. And I'd be the first one to admit that I'm better at it now than I used to be. I once was much worse. But I'm getting better, but it's still a daily struggle, church. It is a daily struggle to relinquish control of your life. Right? Or is it just me? It's a daily struggle to do that, to give up control of every day and say, God, no matter what comes my way, I'll give it to You. I know that You can handle it. I know that You've got it under control. I know that it's not too big for You. I know that it's not too small for You. That You can handle it. That's a very hard thing for us to do because our flesh desires to hold on. Our flesh desires that we covet that control. And it's hard to give up control. Us parents that are getting to that time, and some of us have already experienced it, and some of us are facing it very soon, getting to that time in life where we have to relinquish control of our children. It's not an easy thing neither, right? It's hard. It's hard to relinquish that control. But we have to do that. It's imperative that daily we relinquish the control and not be arrogant in that we think we can handle everything. Because, church, let's just be honest. We can't handle everything. There's very little we can handle in and of ourselves. Right? There's so much, church, that I've gone through as a Christian. And I look back over in my Christian life and I think, there is no way possible I could have gone through that alone. There's no way. There's no way that I could have gone through that time span and endured the things that I endured had the Lord not been on my side. And that's what the message is about tonight. So that's just a little bit of a foundation. If you would, turn with me to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. I want to start at verse 38. It said, "And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on the helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David saith unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag where he had, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. And I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. You may be seated. Now we know, if we go on through these scriptures, we know that David conquered the Philistine. We know that he killed Goliath. Now, there's 2 key things that I want to emphasize on just in this scripture tonight. The first thing is the reason that Goliath failed. The reason that Goliath failed is because he had his confidence in himself. He thought that he was above David. He thought that he was mightier than David. He thought that he was able to... He thought this was going to be an easy battle, church. He looked upon David and he said, Look, they sent me this little kid with a stick. I'm a giant. I'm a mighty man of war. And this is what the best they got to offer? And he underestimated his enemy. That was the first key point that I want to emphasize tonight. The second key point is why David was successful. David didn't look at himself and say, I can take this guy. I've killed some bears. I've killed some lions. This guy ain't nothing to me. I can take him. He didn't do that. He wasn't puffed up. He wasn't arrogant. He wasn't thinking about himself. There's another thing that David did that made him successful. He didn't look at the giant and say, Wow, this guy is big. No wonder all of them's up there trembling and hiding every time he comes out. What have I got myself into? Here's the main thing that David did. He said, I put my trust in the Lord. You come to me with your sword and your armor and your shield bearer, but I come against you in the name of the Lord, who is able to defeat you today. Now, I ain't got confidence in myself, big guy, but I've got confidence in that one that I serve. And he's much bigger than you. He's much greater than you. And he's been through much more wars than you. And he is able to help me to defeat you. And I put my trust in him. Not in myself. Not in these men behind me. Not thinking that I'm bigger than you or better than you. But I put my trust in God today. That's what made David successful. He wasn't arrogant or puffed up thinking that he was somebody special. He didn't lose sight of who he was. He stayed in who that he was. He knew that if he'd be true to God, he would come out victorious. And he came out victorious. The enemy lost because he was puffed up. He was arrogant. He put his confidence in himself. He didn't put his confidence in his trust in God. We'll fail. Church, we will fail. Personally, individually, and as a group. If we don't keep our trust in God, If we don't put our trust in Him, our whole hope in our God. I've seen many a people fail because they've lost sight of that. At one time, they trusted in Him. At one time, they went to Him with their every need. But over time, they got arrogant in that they thought, oh, I can handle this. I can handle this. I can handle this. But eventually, a whole bunch of this becomes too much to handle. It'd be much easier if we just give Him the first this and get it over with. All right? We've got to learn to trust in Him and not be arrogant and thinking that we're able to overcome more than what we can overcome. Because church, like I said earlier, there's very little that we can overcome of ourselves. We've got to have Him. We've got to depend on Him. When I see people going through some of the same things that I've gone through, they're a train wreck because they don't have the Lord. I tell people all the time, you know, I'm not telling you that when you are a child of God, I'm not telling you tonight that you're not going to face trouble. I'm not telling you that there's not going to be battles in your life. I'm not telling you that you're not going to face hard times, because if I did that, I'd be a liar. Because the Bible says that it rains on the just as well as the unjust. Yes, we're going to face things, but the thing that separates me from those that aren't saved is the fact that I've got God to count on. I've got Him to trust on. I've got somebody to put my hope in other than myself. All right? I've got somebody I can call on 24/7 and He's always there for me. Somebody called me 2:30 in the morning last week sometime. They didn't leave a message. They didn't leave a callback number. It didn't show up on my caller ID. I don't know who it was. I missed them. Right? Or they missed me. Either way you want to look at it. I don't know who it was. I was no help to that person. What if it was somebody calling trying to get help from me? I wasn't available for them. And I hate it that I wasn't available for them, but the fact of the matter is I can't always be available. Sometimes my cell phone just don't work. Most of the time my cell phone just don't work. Right? They create all these things that are going to make our lives easier. Computers and cell phones and these iPods and iPhones and all these things supposed to make our lives easier. Man, they ain't made my life no easier. They made it harder. But see, the thing is, His cell phone always has service. Praise God. You know, you look on your phone, it's got them little bars. That's the first thing everybody looks at when they pull out their cell phone. How many bars I got? His is at peak level all the time. He's always got reception, church. He's always available for us. I might not be, Terry might not be, your deacons might not be, your mom and dad might not be, but God is there. If we'll put our trust in Him, put our confidence in Him, and put our faith in Him, and know that no matter what, He's going to be there. Man, that's good news tonight. To know that I don't have to be arrogant in myself and think that I can handle so much. You know me, I'm the pastor. Pile it on me. I can handle it. And I can through and by God. With His help. I'm not telling you don't bring your problems to me, because I want you to. Matter of fact, I wish y'all bring them to me more. I don't know about you people. I tell you. God sent me here for that purpose, church. To be a help to you. And some of you won't come to me with your problems. I don't know if you think I got too many. I got a lot. Right? But I want you to know that I'm here for you. Okay? That's as far as I'm going to go with that. But even more than I, God is always there for us. He's always available for us. He's always obtainable. He's reachable. Right? He wants to help us. He has a much greater desire to help you than I do. And I feel like I have a great desire to help you people. And people in general. In 1 Samuel 2, verses 1 through 4. Mommy, says, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. Church, we've got to be careful not to let arrogance creep into our lives. Haughtiness and high-mindedness. It sneaks around the church and tries to latch on to anybody and everybody that it can, hoping that it can destroy us, that it can overcome us, that it can overtake us. And we've got to be so careful not to let it happen, not only to ourselves, but those that are around us. Right? We've got to be cautious of that as an individual and as a church to make sure that it doesn't happen to us. Because it happens. Church, if we think that it can't happen to us, we ain't fooling nobody but ourselves. Because there's nobody in here that is, you know, immune to the devil's devices. Right? Now we have to understand, and it tells us in 1 Peter, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers in dark places. Things that we can't see, things that we can't put our hands on, things that we can't grasp and get a hold of and want to fight with, right? We're fighting against things that are unseen. But they sneak around in the darkness and try to destroy us and try to deceive us. The devil's going to use whatever he can. And I'll even go a step farther than that. He's going to use whoever he can. If he can use your family to destroy you, he'll use your family. He can use your wife to destroy you, he'll use your wife. If he can use your children, he'll use your children. Right? He can use your parents, he'll use your parents. He don't care. He's not prejudiced about who he uses. Right? He'll use the people at work. He'll even use the people at church. No, ain't no way it's going to happen. Oh, yeah, he will. He'll use the people that you're closest and dearest to. And they won't do it intentionally. But is there... Raise your hands if you've never made a mistake. Raise your hands if you ain't never messed up. You ain't never done nothing wrong. That's what I thought. Good to see y'all ain't arrogant tonight. Preaching's working already. Praise God, we can close the Bible and go home. No, we ain't done yet. We're not perfect, church. We fail. We make mistakes. And the thing is we get so shook up when another Christian makes a mistake. We get so distraught when they let us down, when they fail us. But the fact of the matter is they're just human. Right? They make mistakes. They slip up. They fail. The Bible says to forgive them. Right? It says to forgive them. It doesn't say to hold a grudge against them. It doesn't say bury the hatchet but leave the handle sticking out in case you need it for a later date. Right? It tells us to forgive them. And how many times are we supposed to forgive them? Somebody tell me? Amen, bro. But 70 times 7 is what the Bible tells us in a day. I ain't good at math, but I know that's a big number. Amen? It's hard for us to forgive somebody one time in a day. Come on, let's tell the truth. We have a hard time forgiving somebody one time in 20 years. All right? I remember when they did this to me back in 1988. I'll never forget it. That preacher let me down. I'll never get over it. We need to let that stuff alone. All right? Drop it. Get over it and move on. You ain't making nobody miserable but yourself. All right? So let's not be arrogant in thinking we can't make mistakes. We can't fail. Because that thing you're judging them about could be the very thing that gets you. All right? In 1 Corinthians 10 and 12 it says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." We think we have the ability. We think we have the power. We think that we have the might to stand against everything that comes our way. And when we get to that place of arrogance, we lose sight of God. We lose sight of that we're supposed to be trusting in Him to help us to stand. We're supposed to be helping in Him, trusting in Him to help us to overcome the enemy. Because the enemy is going to attack you every day. Would you agree with that? Every day. He's not going to give up. So it's imperative that we don't give up. All right? We've got to hold fast to our Redeemer. We got to keep our trust in Him. We got to keep our focus on Him. And not on ourselves, not on our enemies, not on our circumstances, not on our surroundings, but keep our focus completely and solely on Jesus. Because He's our hope. He's the only way that we're going to make it, church. The Bible says He is the door. There's no other way. Anybody tries to come any other way is the same as a thief and a robber. He's our only way, our only hope, our only chance, right? So don't get arrogant and think that you're able to overcome everything that comes your way. Because without Him, we're not able to overcome anything. Peter got arrogant for a moment. He told Jesus, Jesus told him, he said, you know, I'm going to die. He said, I'll go with you, Lord. He said, I'll go with you, not even unto death, I'll go. Let me turn there. In Luke 22, verse 31. The Bible says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you." You hearing me tonight, church? Satan desires to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." Big talk. And I believe Peter was the kind to back it up. But he was forgetting something. Christ was a whole lot more than him. And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." I believe in the moment that Peter said that, he was convinced that he would have stood for Christ. Anybody want to disagree with me? I believe that he was convinced that there's no way that he would ever deny Christ. But in that night, he denied him three times. I say that to make a point. I don't say this to run Peter down because I believe Peter was a mighty man of God. But I say this to make a point. We can get up in the morning and say, there's no way the devil can defeat me today. But as soon as we let our guard down, church, he's there. Because he's preying on us. He's watching us. He's following us. He's hunting us. Waiting for us to put our guard down, to make a mistake so that he can lurch onto us. He desires to have you, church. that he can sift you as wheat, so he can destroy you and make you of none effect. That's his desire tonight. And that'll be his desire in the morning. And that'll be his desire tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow night and next week and next month and next year until the day that the rapture takes place. That will be his desire. And we can't let our guard down, church. And we can't allow others that we care about to let their guard down. We've got to tell one another. We've got to instruct one another. We've got to encourage one another. We've got to bear one another's burdens. Be there for one another. And don't get arrogant and think that that'll never happen to me. There's a lot of good people, church, that said that'll never happen to me. I'll never get caught up in that. How could they fail like that? How could they let that come in and destroy them like that? Be careful of the judgment you cast on others. Don't be arrogant. Don't be fooling yourself and acting like that you're above failure. Or let's just put it where it is, that you're above sin. Because none of us are above it. None of us are above it. But we need to do our very best to avoid it. Don't even be around it. All right? The Bible says, avoid the very appearance of sin. Stay away from it. Don't get caught up in it. That's your evening message. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer.